Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask you to bless us today in this word. We ask you to bless it to our mind, our understanding. Thank you for the encouragement, Lord, that we're going to receive through these things, these prophetic words here. And we thank you so much, Father, for all you're doing to bring us to the place of holiness and righteousness and purity and deliverance from the beast. Yes. So we're going to continue with Preserved from the Beast, number 7. Okay, and this first revelation was given to Gideon Smith. And we called it From the Highway to the Voice of Floods. Amen. Gideon put some interpretation in here, and it's pretty good, too. And then I put some, too. And he got this on 4/28/21. Gideon said, I had a dream that I was walking on a bridge with two friends exercising. And he got representing the fellowship of the saints. Exercising means that we are exercising our senses of discernment and also spiritual gifts and power. Amen. Something about the time and atmosphere in the dream let me know that this bridge wasn't always is as accessible. Okay, so this is something new here that's happening because it hadn't always been this accessible. There was a recent change that made the bridge accessible for pedestrians. That's what we need. We need a change that makes this bridge accessible. Amen. And God is bringing it now, in Jesus' name. And he wrote, God is going to open the doors for the first fruits to come into the way of true holiness. Amen. A greater knowledge and discernment of God, I think, too, you know. The bridge didn't look that hard to cross when the great revival for these end times starts, the Highway of Holiness will be accessible because reformers with knowledge of truth and a power and powerful move of God's Holy Spirit will give abundant grace to the first fruits all over the earth, empowering them in sanctification and obedience to the Spirit of God and His Word. How awesome! Yes, when you get through at the time of testing, it's time to go to work. It was that way with Jesus. You know, he was tested in the wilderness and tempted of the devil, you know. And then when he came out, he went to work and he had the anointing of God upon him. The bridge was straight and very narrow. Everyone on the bridge was going the same direction. Wow, that's good. That's coming into one accord. And it's representing the first fruits becoming submitted to the narrow, straight path of obedience to the Word. There weren't many people on it, he says. And he gives Matthew 7:13-14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. This is true. And this bridge was on the border of Virginia. The bridge represents a place of transition and a place of purity and submission to Christ alone. Amen. And crossing over the bridge would bring you into the state of Virginia. And he has a state of purity and submission. Yes, and here's a verse that comes to me, is Isaiah 37:22. The virgin daughter of Zion hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. And this, of course, is speaking of when the Assyrian beast empire failed to conquer Zion, which is Jerusalem, which is the bride, after conquering the apostate people of God. the bride was able to laugh at the beast's attempts to conquer her and all of his threats, right? Because she was a virgin, meaning not having received the seed of man. There are so many people out there that are helpless before the devil and before the beast because they received the seed of man. What can man do here? This is a God thing. And we're in training to be sons of God, right? And Virginia is the place of virgins where this bridge on the highway of holiness leads, okay? Gideon goes on. He says, I knew this because I heard my friends say excitedly, let's go into Virginia. He made a note, the saints are going to become excited and ready to be holy and without fault before God. Yes, I agree. And they get excited about the word. You know, people have heard that pablum from their preachers for so long, and when they start hearing the real word, it makes them excited. Yeah. And as we moved, I noticed my leg was kind of injured, so I couldn't really run. And suddenly my leg began to strengthen and I began to run. Now there's an act of God right there. And those who walk or hindered and troubled will be blessed and healed, he says. By grace, God will accept their willing hearts as enough and will grant them power to overcome. Amen. I agree. And he gives the verse, Hebrews 12:12-13. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Amen. Psalm 18:32-33. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He goes on, my friends saw me running as well, and what I noticed about my friends was that they were in great shape and seemed to run easily. And he said, God is going to bring us all up to speed if we stay on the path. Yes, that's right. Amen. And also, God's grace is the greater equalizer. His power will bring us all into unity of the Spirit and maturity quickly to prepare for the wilderness tribulation. That's what we're getting ready for, folks. He said, I wasn't sure how fast I could run, but it was as if I became supernaturally fast very quickly, so fast that I outran my friends, and it was like I was floating. And he gave Isaiah 40:29-31. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even as the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's pretty much floating, right? Yeah. In a vision of my own, if you remember, my children were like turtles crossing the Red Sea, which was the beginning of the wilderness, right? But when they crossed, they became rabbits in order to prepare them to run through the wilderness. Now, that's a supernatural change there. And God's going to do that because they were anointed with the Holy Spirit on the other side of the Red Sea, and they were received spiritually power. And he goes on the left side of the narrow bridge, there was water. It looked shallow, almost swampy, and dirty. Well, it was on the left side, okay? And this is the place of the condemned goats on the left. It's the wayside, where the word has no deep root, and there's no peace. It's also unclean, and the demonic realm from below is able to work in and through it. Yes, I agree. And also that God is going to flush out the swamp in the apostate church with the living waters of truth, the real gospel, just as he is exposing the swamp of the corrupt deep state now. Amen. There's a parallel there. We've been watching it so clearly. Gideon said, "As I was running, I noticed that the water started to move, to be moved and shake and bubble up, almost to a boil. Something very bad was going on under the water that was moving it." And, well, Isaiah 27 and 1 says, "In that day, the Lord with his hard and great and strong sword will punish Leviathan, the swift serpent, and Leviathan, the crooked serpent, and he will slay the monster that is in the sea." So there you go. This is what God's going to do with the beast, right? Gideon said, "Although I saw this, I didn't stop to look. I just kept running." Yep. No use in getting distracted here. Psalm 46, 1 through 3, he gives. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." Selah. Yeah. Amen. He said, "As I headed towards the top crest of the bridge, there was a great shaking. And as I looked up," it was as I looked up. Okay. Hebrews 12, 21 through 27. "And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made," yes, made by man, "that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." So, folks, you're seeing a shaking, and it is bringing down man's kingdoms, even man's religious kingdoms. Yep, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for the finished work. We thank you that the swamp is shaking. "Waters like a powerful river from the top of the bridge's ascent, the highest place, began to flow powerfully, just like a dam was broken." Reaching the top of the ascent represents the place where God's voice is heard. Okay. Well, I think also it represents when the man-child is birthed out of the bride in the woman's body. You understand there is a body within a body. The bride is a body within the woman's body, and the man-child is born from that body, meaning he's born from both bodies, right? Because the woman is in the larger body of the church, right? So he's born from these bodies. And by the breaking of her water, and is caught up to the throne, he will receive the anointing to hear the voice of God clearly like never before. Just like Jesus said in John 5 and 30, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And Gideon put Psalms 29, 3 through 4 here. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. And Revelation 1 and 15. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And Jeremiah 10 and 13. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. Amen. And he goes on, as the powerful waters descended, I was taken down with them, but I did not seem to get wet. It was like my feet were on top of the water. And I began to lift my hands and praise God over and over while moving on top of the crashing, violent water, just like the flood of Noah. Yeah, Genesis 6, 17 and 18. And the waters increased and bare up the ark. And we know that we are like an ark of the presence of God wherever we go, right? The waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. Amen. They weren't in the waters. They were above the waters. And there's a reason for that. That is above the curse. The curse that killed all the others, it didn't kill those who were in the ark. So not getting wet here and walking on the top of the water represents walking above the curses of this world in the power of his supernatural anointing. Matthew 24, 37. And as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Well, I applied that to really what's going on today. We're about to see an absolute flood, and we're seeing the beginning of it. It's the Babylonish deep state, and their vaccine and their tests making people sick and making them carriers so that they carry it to everybody else. It's a flood of destruction. It's a geometric expansion. From here till the next few months, we're going to see an explosion of dead people. Of course, they're going to be dying from everything but COVID-19. But the COVID-19 so-called vaccine has destroyed their immune systems, and things are very quickly taking people over. Very quickly, people who did not know they had cancer are suddenly full of it, and so on and so forth. So, yeah. So anyway, that we need justification by faith to endure through this time, and we need faith in the power of God. People that are running to man are apostates, and so what we need to do is turn away from that and turn to God only. The waters, he said, were powerful. They were destroying stuff everywhere. Yes. It was a powerful onslaught of water. And also the waters can represent words. You know, the serpent sent out waters from its mouth to destroy the man-child and the woman in Revelation. But the earth swallowed that up, that waters up, and helped the woman. And the man-child, Jesus, speaking through his anointed body of ministers, will bring words of judgment during the tribulation, as well as the two witnesses who will call down fire to burn up their enemies. So we see that judgment is going to come out of the mouth of God's prophetic ministers in these coming days. As the water continued to flow, it lifted me up far into the sky above the landmass. The voice of God will lift his people into heavenly places above the curse. I was taken on top of a rock pillar that had a place to stand on. This rock pillar was planted in the middle of the water. Well, the rock is Jesus, upon whose word the first fruits will stand above the curses of this world. One of our first visions in my family was that me standing on a rock in the middle of the ocean, and I had those leg braces on, you know, meaning I wasn't standing by my own power, but I was standing on a rock in the midst of the ocean. And of course, it was kind of like Noah's Ark, you know, you didn't see anything there. So he said, the whole time all of this was happening, I was being filled with the Spirit and praising God still. The rock ascended from the bottom of the water all the way up into the air. I could see the whole large landscape covered with the waters from the high place. I could also see the bright and glorious light of the sun, that is SUN/SON, shining throughout the whole earth. The waters didn't move the rock. As I stood on this rock, I heard a multitude of voices telling me, warn the people and tell them to repent of sin. This is a way out of the great judgment that is coming. Then I spoke from the rock over the land in tongues, and I kept speaking and proclaiming the word in an unknown tongue. And then I woke up. So, again, you have God's people giving a prophetic voice over the earth, warning the people. Revelation 14, 1 through 7, Gideon gave. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. That's the first fruits man-child body. Having his father's name written on their foreheads, or in their foreheads, excuse me. And the name, of course, means nature, character, and authority. And in this case, it's of the Father. And it's in their mind. It's in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as a voice of many waters and as a voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song save the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. And redeemed means bought and taken. These are, that's not talking about a rapture to heaven, because they're on the earth doing this. But they're actually spiritually in heavenly places because they're in Christ, which is what Ephesians says. These are they which were not defiled with women. And this is like, you know, Song of Solomon. It's like Esther, meaning they're not defiled with the denominational type groups out there that are really receiving the seed of man. And it goes on to say, for they are virgins, meaning no seed or word of man in them. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Yep, they're not guided by a denomination or a famous preacher. They're guided by the Spirit of God. These were redeemed, meaning bought and taken, from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Notice, first fruits unto God and the Lamb. In other words, the first to come to this maturity after Jesus. Oh. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God And I saw another angel fly in the midst of the heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Well, this hour is the 3.5 years of the man-child's ministry that is parallel to Jesus' ministry. There's another hour, the hour of the beast, and that's the second 3.5 years. Okay. Revelation 12, 1 through 17 says this, And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she was with child. She crieth out, travailing in birth and in pain to be delivered. And the dragon standeth before the woman that is about to be delivered, that when she is delivered, he may devour her child. And she was delivered of a son, a man child, who is to rule all the nations with the rod of iron. And Jesus said, by the way, earlier in the chapters where he spoke to the churches, that the overcomers would be doing this, to rule all nations with the rod of iron. So some people say, oh no, that's Jesus. Well, overcomers have Jesus in them. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. And this is the throne of David here, same as Jesus went to. It's, by the way, it's on the earth. And it's in heavenly places at the same time. It's in the presence of God and in the presence of man, like David's throne was. And Solomon, of course, the son of David, sat upon his throne. He's also a type of the man-child when you look at it at certain parables. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days, 3.5 years. They nourish the woman. That is, the man-child nourishes the woman, like Jesus nourished the woman in that wilderness in his day. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon. The dragon warred and his angels, and they prevailed not. And it's happening. We're watching it. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. It's true. He has deceived the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. And of course, you know, when Jesus sent forth his disciples and came back, Jesus said, I saw Satan cast down out of heaven. Why? Because they were destroying the devil's kingdom and his authority over the people. Yes, they were. And it will be the same in these days. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, excuse me, Now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death. They overcame the accuser. You know, the accuser comes to condemn you in your mind for all of your past, you know, but it's past. Forgetting those things which are behind, we press forward to the prize, right? We can have faith, right? Because we're justified by faith. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe for the earth and for the sea, because the devil is gone down unto you, having great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. And there were given to the woman the two wings of the great eagle. They were made to be overcomers. Who gave that to them? The man-child did. That she might fly into the wilderness unto her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth after the woman water as a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the river which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon waxed wroth with the woman and went away to make war with the rest of her seed that keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. Amen. How awesome. This mighty move of the Spirit of God. God is preparing us for this wilderness. And here's another one. This is a Rion Pinar. He got this on 5/1/21. And he called it The Earth Flips. I dreamed I was in a caravan or RV park. Could this represent some timing? You know, does Planet X come around after the GCR, Nisara, Jisara thing? That was a question that we put in there. I was watching a full moon rising just over the horizon. It was sunset, and the sky was a bright purple and pink. It was beautiful, and the moon was as full as I'd ever seen. The full moon rising represents the bride of Christ coming into the fullness of his likeness. I don't say that she's arrived there yet, but she's moving from 30 to 60 to 100, right? Full fruit. She is dead to self, only reflecting the light of it, of the sun, SUN/SON. Revelation 12:1, and a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun. In other words, she had put on Christ, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And the color purple represents royalty, and the color pink represents love. She had put on Christ. How do you put on Christ? You walk in the Word. Your works are your garments. Like the righteous acts of the saints were their garments, right? Well, it's the same today. Then I saw the moon sink quickly down past the horizon, and I knew instantly that the earth had flipped, and that I only had seconds to react. And I remember thinking, this is it. It's happening. Well, you know, I can see a spiritual aspect here too. You know, these have come hither that have turned the world upside down. Yes, they were doing exactly that. They were taking things, plundering the devil's kingdom and giving it to God's kingdom, right? They were turning the world upside down. But there is a Planet X coming. And they say that when Planet X passes by Earth, its gravity will grab the southern hemisphere and pull it towards it, tipping the Earth on its axis and causing a pole shift. And if one is watching the stars at this time on the other side of the Earth, in other words, away from the sun, they would see a third of the stars of heaven fall towards the horizon, which speaks of a falling away of the fruitless seed of Abraham through faith. You know, a third of the stars of heaven fell to the earth. And that represents a great falling away. We're watching it. We're seeing it out there now. There's a great falling away. The dragon has devoured these people, and they in turn want to devour the bride, but they will fail miserably. Although they don't believe that. I immediately started praying in the Spirit as loudly and furiously as I could, with my eyes closed as an attempt to brace for the impact. In a few seconds, a dark black smoke was all around me, and I was just floating in it, without hearing or feeling anything. I kept praying in the Spirit for a short while, waiting to see something terrible or to feel pain or something. Well, you know, we're just not under the curse, are we? The floating represents being in the rest, in the secret place of the Most High, even when there's destruction and spiritual darkness all around us. We can be in the rest and trust in the Lord. We have these guardian angels, you know. Put them to work. They're there to guard you, protect you, etc. He said, the next moment I was in a hiking and cabin area further down south from where we live. There was a cabin or ranger station similar to a little hut or house that one would find at the start of a few nature trails in a conservation area. This particular ranger station in real life is the gateway to a beautiful waterfall. So God uses things, you know, we know about to speak to us. And I believe the waterfall represents the former and latter rain anointing that will be poured out in the great revival that is coming to God's people. You want to know why we're not going to walk as men anymore? Because of the Spirit of God upon us. The station had maps all around the walls. In other words, how to go here and how to go there. Direction, right? And the Holy Spirit and the direction is what we need. I heard Claire ask a few other people who had also arrived there how they got there. And all of them said that they were translated. Ooh. Yes, I know the Lord is going to do this. He's done it with me before. And I know he's going to give me a gift to not only translate, but to take people with me. Anyway, this represents a place of refuge that many will be supernaturally translated to by angels for protection and safety in the times to come. They all wanted to go out on the hikes, but it was raining. Oh, too much fun. Rain, right? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We said that if we were translated here, then we should stay put. Well, that's right. Stay put. Let the rain fall. Amen. This prepares us for everything. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Pray for it. If you haven't received the Holy Spirit, pray to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit just like they did in the book of Acts. Don't depart from the pattern of God's word. Just like they received it, they received it with gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you want the Holy Spirit and you don't want his gifts, you don't want the Holy Spirit. Let the demonic denominations out there talk you out of it. I received my by faith at random Psalm 91:9. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. Oh, boy. And who's going to bother you there, right? In God's refuge. And this next one is Claire Pinar's 5:4:21. And we called it, The Bride is a Mouthpiece. I dreamed I walked into a healing center on the top of a high hill. It was all white with super shiny floors, and there was much light inside. This healing center on the high hill is a type of Mount Zion, abiding in the secret place of the Most High. Yes, you know where the great healings are going to start. They're going to start the same way they did with Jesus and his disciples. who John the Baptist said were the bride, following the bridegroom. That's where the signs and wonders and miracles are going to start, okay? Malachi 4, 1 through 3 says, "For behold, the day cometh, it burneth as a furnace, and all the proud and all that work wickedness shall be stubble." Yes, God is going to drain the swamp. He is doing a great job in the world and in the church, draining the swamp. He is getting those that cause stumbling out of his body. "And the day that cometh shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." In other words, they won't have any fruit in God, no roots in the Word. We see it. We're watching it. It's happening. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." Healing. "And you shall go forth and gamble as the calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I make, says the Lord of hosts." Yes, we have some good dreams about that we're going to share with you. You know, God's people are the ones who speak the word, and it goes forth. All through the scripture it was done that way, right? He didn't do anything but what he spoke it through his prophets. And prophets, of course, can mean not only people who prophesy, but people who have dreams and visions and so on. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, you see. And these come to pass. They come from the Lord. "As soon as the lady behind the desk saw me, she exclaimed, 'Your radiant beauty is so welcome.'" I believe Claire, meaning bright or pure, is being used here to represent the bride of whom it says in Revelation 19, 7 and 8, "Let us rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Let us give the glory unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." We're in this stage right now. The wife is making herself ready, and the rest are careless, kind of like in the Song of Solomon. What are you so fanatic about running after your Lord, huh? Yeah, they call you fanatics. One day, they'll wish they hadn't done that. They'll wish they followed. Verse 8, "And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen." She desired it, and she got it. "Bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." So you got to be dressed up of Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. "I thought I was there for a very strict interview, but this lady was just bubbling with excitement to see me and talk with me. And she said, 'You've worked very hard up to now, and you are a mouthpiece now. You'll only speak truth, and more will come soon.'" Well, this reminds us of the Shepherd of Hermas, where this woman shared, and I believe the woman represents wisdom of God, shared with Hermas revelations. Amen. The very strict interview could represent that trials that we go through to burn up the wood, hay, and the stubble of the old life. It feels like a spiritual interrogation at times, but this is how our Father refines us so that we have that radiant beauty that is so welcomed by Him and those around us that we are sent to witness to. Amen. We want to reflect the light of Christ. We want people to see Jesus in us. Jesus can do the work. We can't. But Him in us can do the work. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? "Then I looked over at Elena and Mariana from the UBM outreach in a little side office, also all dressed completely in white, and they were going to get directions from me, and they were so excited to start working with me. And she said here, those who are more mature in the bride body will help the slightly newer saints who are coming in to be a part of the bride company as well. They will be working alongside those who are already walking in this spiritual maturity. There was another slightly younger woman at a little desk behind me. She was very jealous of me. Oh, she was drawing her red skirts and red dresses with a red pen on a piece of paper, and it looked like she was cursing me. Yes, this represents a body of people, just like the bride represents a body of people. This represents a body of people who are cursing the bride. It is a crucifixion at the hands of these wicked people. They are factious. They are dividing the body for their own greedy lusts. Okay. I recognized her face from my university days, but I don't remember her name. The excited lady behind the counter who had the interview with me berated this young woman for being lazy and jealous, but she did not stop. I believe those drawings of the red skirts and dresses denote that the harlot will continue to attempt to curse those who walk in the righteousness of Christ. Yes, this is true. And the factious in the church are rebellious and jealous of the bride and mind not the things of God, but the things of men. Jesus told the Spirit, speaking through Peter, Matthew 16 and 23, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art a stumbling block unto me." Yes, they are a stumbling block unto many. "For thou mindest not the things of God, but the things of men." Yep, that's these people that have a selfish ambition to be a leader among the people. Well, God gives them a leadership, all right, over vessels of dishonor and rebellion. And they just feel like they've accomplished something, you know. But they're wicked, and they do wicked things, and they come against the righteous. I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random and received Ezekiel 39. My finger was on the words, "for my holy name," and in context, 25 through 27. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, now will I bring back the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel. And I will be jealous for my holy name." Yes, many are in Babylonish captivity, but when they see the swamp being drained, the Red Sea taking down Pharaoh's army, guess what? They're going to know something is up. They're going to know they've been wrong. They're going to know that they just followed Babylonish religion and a bunch of false leaders. "And they shall bear their shame and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they shall dwell securely in their land." You can't serve God anywhere but in his land. You have to have the promises under your feet, the promised land under your feet. "And none shall make them afraid when I have brought them back from the peoples and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations." In the sight of many nations. People are watching this thing that's going on. It's going to be famous. The repetition of the story of Jesus and his disciples with Judas. All of this is being recorded. And the people are going to see that this is a continuation of history. Well, the bride comes to maturity to help God's people who are being freed from bondage. And in type, They then go to Jerusalem, the bride, their capital city. You know, when they came out of Babylon, that's where they went. Right? They understand those who have been put over them, and they're returning to the biblical type. Amen. Okay, this is another one given to Claire. And man-child and the Ancient of Days help the bride. Amen. And she got this on 4/14/21. I dreamed that I was in a undercover parking lot in a city. Well, parking lot is where vessels are at rest. And there's no light from the sun, S-O-N, in a covered parking lot. And I needed to get out. And, well, the city represents Babylon, and we are commanded to come out of her and partake not of her sins, lest we partake of her judgments. I was in my big silver van, and when I reversed out of the parking, I did so in the wrong direction, so I could not get into the flow of traffic to pay for my parking before I left the parking lot. Having to pay to get freedom, huh? Well, Jesus paid that, you know. 2 Timothy 2:20-21 says, now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some unto honor and some unto dishonor. And if a man therefore purge himself from these, that is the wood, hay, and the stubble, right? He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. What about the rest of them? Well, they become persecutors. That's the norm. They become persecutors of those who are walking in holiness. That's the norm. Sanctification means going in the opposite direction from the way the rest of the world is going. That's what she was doing, right? And what the rest of the world thinks is the right way, right? So on the flip side, we're all like sheep and have gone astray and are unable to pay our debts for our sinful nature that we were born with. So the Lord came and done it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, she went on to say, this caused a great deal of ruckus for the parking manager, and I received a $20,000 fine, which I could not pay. Then a man named Andrew called out to me and said, quote, meet me in the next parking lot, and I'll sort this out, unquote. So I drove to the next parking lot, one street down, and once there, he gave me a red, fast convertible. Boy, we get that in a lot of dreams. I've been in a red, fast convertible, too, in my dreams. It's interesting. But anyway, this is a vessel that's washed in the blood. That's why it's red. And our vessel, of course, is this body that we're walking in. And, of course, this being able to move very quickly, it means you can grow quickly and do the work of the Lord quickly, right? Yeah. See, what's hard to do now is not going to be hard with this great anointing that's coming. Mm-mm. It'll be natural. It was like a super fast supercar. Andrew, meaning strong man, said, here's the money. Go pay the debt. He's expecting you. So Andrew represents Jesus, who paid our debt, as the stronger man spoke of in Luke 11:20-22. But if I by the finger of God cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. When the strong man, fully armed, guardeth his own court, his goods are at peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, He taketh from him his whole armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. And that's what the Lord has called us to do. Spoil the strong man. The stronger man was Jesus. And he's taken away his authority, taken away his power. Now he tells us, plunder, plunder, plunder the kingdom of the devil. Wherever he's king and wherever he's ruling over souls out there, plunder those souls for the kingdom of God. Amen. He handed me a wad of cash, and I was very grateful, but I knew I should have been more grateful. I just didn't know how to be. And I really wanted to clear my name. I drove to the first parking lot and paid the debt. And she said, perhaps the parking manager is the accuser of the brethren, as I was charged unfairly. Only the sacrifice of Jesus and the covering of his blood will redeem us. Amen. True. So true. As we drove the fast red convertible, my son, daughters, and I transported over a huge ocean with a silver-haired man on a little white board with a camera. Well, they are overseas, right? But they're coming here. Yes, we know that already from dreams. And she said, I believe that this is the Ancient of Days, God. Or it might be this, the translation through David, who also has silver hair, over the ocean to the U.S., since the Lord showed me this gift he would give to me. That's a possibility, because I've had dreams of doing that exact thing, translating people from place to place. So I just throw that in there as a possibility, but also, the Ancient of Days is the one who makes all of this possible, right? He sees everything, and it's all recorded. Yes, it is. And people think they can hide from God and do their dirty works and disobey God's laws and man's laws. But they can't. They're not getting away with anything. They're storing up for themselves judgment in the time of judgment. That's what the Bible says. And it's going to be released on them, and they're going to be shocked or dead quickly. He sees everything, and it's all recorded, hence the presence of the camera in the dream. He said to me, remember these things. They are part of your children's testimony. Wow. I would think it'd be a pretty good testimony to be translated. Kids, too. That would be a powerful testimony to them. I said, yes, I do write them down, and I can see there's more to come. And as I said that, I saw a huge orca whale with her calf, but it was not going to eat us. It respected the man on the little white board, and these sea creatures started doing tricks for us. Well, I think this is Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Our Father is sovereign over the beast and the peoples, the nations, and the tongues. They cannot harm us when we walk with him above the curses of this earthly life. My son wanted to get into the water with the orca whales, but I said to him, no, boy, I need you safe. He said, but I can swim. And I replied, not with whales, boy, not with whales. And she puts, the immature Christians will think that they can swim with the deep sea creatures, and the bride is going to have to guide and to teach them. You remember the turmoil underneath the bridge when something bad was going on down there, you know. It was the judgment of Leviathan, right? Amen. The white-haired man was taking pictures of everything. He was aware of everything and seemed to communicate with me and my children and the whales all the same time in our minds and hearts. He was calm, and I was certain that he knew all things. Well, again, my thought is Jesus in the David man child will have all knowledge to save the bride and her children from the beast. Amen. In Psalm 94, 2 through 11, lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render to the proud their desert. The Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? They prate, they speak arrogantly. All the workers of iniquity boast themselves. Oh, yes, they are so proud of themselves, you know. In their evil, they're even proud of their evil. They break in pieces thy people, O Lord. Yes, they cause division. That's what that is. And afflict thy heritage. They slay the widow and the sojourner. We, Adam, slay a widow. You know, Sandy's mama. They slayed that widow. And, of course, Sandy's mama was asking the Lord to go to heaven. And they tried to kill Sandy, and they failed. But the death that they released in the house took mama home. And we asked the Lord, why did you let these criminals kill mama? And you know what the Lord said? He said, because I wanted them to be guilty. It didn't hurt mama. She's very happy. She was waiting to go. Yeah. He wanted them to be guilty. He wanted to charge them with this death like so many other. They slay the widow and the sojourner and murder the fatherless. Yes, her mama was a widow. And murder the fatherless. And they say, the Lord will not see, neither will the God of Jacob consider. Consider you brutish or you beastly among the people. And ye fools, when will you be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the nations, shall not he correct? Even he that teacheth man knowledge. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Yes, amen. Foolishness. I received a verse by faith at random of Ezra, but I cannot remember it. So I asked the Lord for another verse by faith at random and received the following, Daniel 11 and 12. And the multitude shall be lifted up, and his heart shall be exalted, and he shall cast down tens of thousands, but he shall not prevail. I think this is a good typology of the beast and his beastly people. I asked the Lord for another verse by faith at random, and I received Mark 10 and 40 with my finger on my right hand. In context, 10:35 through 45. And there come near unto him James and John, the sons of Zebedee, saying unto him, Teacher, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we ask of thee. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? And they said to him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and one on thy left hand in thy glory. Well, there's people that have a selfish ambition to be somewhere that they haven't necessarily earned. And the Lord knew that. He knew the disciples. He knew what they needed and so on. But Jesus said unto them, You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We are able. And Jesus said unto them, The cup that I drink, you shall drink. And with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand or on my left hand is not mine to give. It is for them for whom it hath been prepared. Amen. I'm saying that's the first fruits right there. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be moved with indignation concerning James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said unto him, You know that they who are accounted to rule over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it is not so among you. But whosoever would become great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever would be first among you shall be servant of all. For the Son of Man also came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Amen. So this is the humility that God wants in his people. The selfish ambition, of course, is what is separating people from his body. They want positions. We've had people that persecuted us because they were ordained in a dead church, and they wanted us to accept their ordination. We said, we don't do that. And they got mad. One man got so mad he went out and became a Mormon. Yeah. I mean, look, when you get mad and unforgiving towards people, you won't like where God's going to take you. He says he's going to turn you over to the devil. He says he'll turn you over to the tormentors till you pay what was due. Pride, arrogancy. People think they have earned something and they should get something. You know, you get whatever God gives you and you be satisfied with it. So here's Claire Pinar again, 4/19/21. And we called it Coming to America on a B-1 visa. On the same night that I received this dream, my daughters also received dreams or words. The children do not know consciously know about my previous dreams concerning the USA. But today, while we were doing a Bible study on Ruth, Micah piped up and said, It must be amazing to live in America because that is where all God's people are now. Yes, that's a child speaking there. I thought it a very strange thing to say, with a smiley face. I dreamed we were packing up to move to America. And I was getting rid of everything except my children's favorite books and toys. In the dream, it was my children's last day of preschool. And preschool, that's a good word for children in the Lord. They go to preschool. You got to give them so much before they're ready for school, right? And all the teachers and children were very sad to see us go. Well, you know, the self-appointed apostate teachers will be sad to see the elect children of the bride coming out of their apostate learning centers and being freed to enter into the wilderness where the man-child and the bride will teach them the truth so that they can grow up. As I've said, that I feel the Lord told me that the religions are playpens. They're only made to keep them out of trouble until they're old enough to climb over the bars and get out. Some people stay there. Then they become babies with beards, as my brother once had a dream. They've been a long time a baby, never growing up, no fruit. I was hugging people from my childhood and teenage years. I thought this was strange since I was physically in Australia now and not South Africa anymore, so hugging them would be impossible. But it's a spiritual thing, right? We were standing outside the gate that led into the preschool. Perhaps this shows that we, the bride, are letting go of our past hurts and emotional things and are ready to travel lightly into the wilderness. Well, forgiveness of past hurts and emotional baggage is a requirement to be in the bride. With unforgiveness, you are unforgiven. Let me just say, that's what Jesus said. And to have God's protection and provision in the coming wilderness tribulation, we will need to get rid of all of this. If you're threatened by the beast, you need to get rid of any unforgiveness, any root of bitterness, and be sure you do it. Well, there was red sand, typical of outback Australia. Well, maybe that's representing the Red Sea crossing into the wilderness tribulation, right? And someone asked Rion and I how we had gotten a visa for the USA, and Rion replied, Claire did it on the B1 visa. We have 3 months until we renew it. I think this means that the prayers of the bride will be answered. And this is also interesting because I received 2 B1 visas in the past. These are business visas, valid for 180 days. Rion and I believe that the term B1 is a play on words. B1 or B1. Which is what the message of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is, that I received by faith at random when I woke up. Yeah, it could be that since America represents the great melting pot, that prophetically we represent all of God's elect becoming one body in Christ in these end times when the great revival comes. Yes, God's people need to be where they're supposed to be, where they're called to be, not where they have ambitions to go, but where God has ambitions for them to go, right? I've told a lot of people coming here, I said, you better be sure you're called of God to come here. If you don't, you'll be headed for trouble. Because we saw God culling people, making sure that they weren't a part of this. And he did it by turning them over to this reprobate mind of faction. In my children's little backpacks were sweet, precious little things. They had lovely plush toys of Australian animals like platypus and koalas, and beautiful picture books about Australia. And in the dream, I was overcome with a tremendous solemnity that Australia was home to my son, even though it was never home to me, and I knew I needed to be really gentle with his heart. Well, that's true. I mean, if you're going to bring them upstairs, you have to do it gently, right? We'll have to be weak to the weak when people start coming to the Man, Child, and Bride ministries out of apostate Christianity. They will have immature and childish ways, and many false doctrines and ideas, and may still have an affinity for worldly things. It will take patience and the supernatural love of Christ working in us to help them overcome these ideas and mature to bear fruit in the wilderness tribulation. Then the scene changed, and my mom took me into the laundry room outside the house that I grew up in back in South Africa, and she asked me, what about all this stuff? She knew we were leaving to America, and I looked at it and said, I'm not taking it. I have no need for any of it where I'm going. And she puts a note, we, the bride, are ready to leave all the baggage behind. We have trimmed our lives down to obedience to the word only, leaving as much as we can in the time available to us. Yeah. Those of us who have come out of the Mother Church have, in measure, left our baggage and our dirty laundry behind and have washed our clothes in sanctification outside of her house. Psalm 1, 6 through 8 says, "Look not upon me, because I am swarthy, because the sun has scorched me. My mother's sons were incensed against me. They made me keeper of the vineyards. But mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest thy flock, where thou makest it to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that is veiled beside the flocks of thy companions?" That's what they are, veiled. "If thou knowest not, O fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents." Not in the shepherd's tents, beside the shepherd's tents. She has come out from among them. "Rion, the children, and I piled into a dark blue SUV and drove out of my parents' old house." This is the same dark blue SUV that I've had in other dreams of us going to the airport, leaving for heavenly places, right? The blue SUV. And representing escaping the earthly to dwell in the heavenlies where Christ is seated. The man, child, and bride will have a Psalm 91 protection during the wilderness tribulation. We were finally off to the USA, and we knew that our children would go to a public school for 3 days. But then they'd be back with us, representing a death, burial, and resurrection from the old life to the new, I think. That's what the 3 days may be. I did not bother with school uniforms or lunch boxes because it was temporary. I woke up and I put my finger on the last half of 1 Corinthians 6 and 13, in context 13 through 15. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Well, we have to come out of Babylon so that we don't partake of her sins and escape her destructions. We must separate ourselves from the apostate sects of Christianity. That's not being defiled with the women, right? And become one body and one spirit with Christ. So, she said, "My eldest daughter, Micah, also had a dream on the same night." And here it is. Micah. Micah Pinar, 4:14, 21. "In heaven, on earth, in a cabin with Jesus." Okay. "I dreamed Daddy, Mommy, Tabby, Daniel, and I were living with Jesus in a wood cabin next to a clear and clean river. We all thought this was heaven. The wood of the cabin was blonde and shiny, and there were small nails nailed into the wood to form a beautiful swirling pattern. I can't explain exactly how Jesus looked, but he was a shining light, and I could see the outline of his body. One day, in the backyard, Daniel fell into the river. He was terribly sick and bruised all over, and couldn't breathe that well. Well, obviously the river could represent the curse, right, as we've seen before. We called Jesus to heal him. And I don't know exactly what he said, but in the end, Daniel got healed. Jesus healed him. And Claire says here, she says, Daniel's the only one who has yet to accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior, probably due to his age of 5 years and his understanding. It seems from the dream that our Lord Jesus will raise him to new life soon. Yes, a baptism unto death, right? And resurrection. Praise be to God, she says. Even so, Daniel is covered by the blood of Jesus through household salvation. Amen. Yeah, don't forget about this. Believe for your children. Don't walk by sight. We know that the kids get out there and they get dirty, right? 1 Corinthians 7 and 14 says, "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified in the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified in the brother. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy." Amen. So speak it, say it. Confess their holiness, right? Acts 11, 13 through 15 says, "And he told us, I had seen an angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa, and fetch Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall speak unto thee words whereby thou shalt be saved, thou and all thy house.'" Whereby thou shalt be saved, thou and all thy house. Amazing. Some people don't believe in household salvation. But you know, when they ate the lamb, it was a lamb for a household. The Passover had to work for everybody in their household. So the lamb had to be eaten by everybody. It was for the whole household. We know our lamb has been sacrificed for our household. "And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, even as on us at the beginning." Now that's a sign. They're taking it as a sign. When the Holy Spirit fell on them, how did the Holy Spirit fall on them? As I was telling you earlier, it's just like in the book of Acts. When people say, "Oh, I got the Holy Spirit when I got saved." "Oh, yeah? Do you have any of the gifts?" Well, no. "Well, do you speak in tongues?" "Well, no." "Oh, okay, that's the most common gift that's given when you fill with the Holy Spirit, as in the book of Acts. Okay, let's listen to the scriptures, not to men. There's nothing negative about tongues in the scriptures. It's all positive. Go and read it for yourself. Don't let men tell you, "Oh, this is a horror story," and blah, 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 you know. Yeah. "Many children, spiritual and physical, who were raised to know about the Lord," as you know, you understand, Daniel was receiving all kinds of instructions about the Lord, "are going through a death experience to appreciate their salvation so that they may know the Lord." So this is the most important thing. I mean, you can have knowledge of the Lord, but not know the Lord. Ezekiel 37, 4 through 14 says, "And again he said unto me, 'Prophesy over these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.'" You know, you should speak over your children. Speak life over them. Amen. "Thus saith the Lord unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied,
as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, an earthquake. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And I beheld, and lo, there were sinews upon them, and the flesh came up, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. That's the same word for spirit. Right? Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, or spirit, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Amen. You know, children a lot of times are, you know, begin to walk in death, in the old ways of the flesh. And sometimes it takes chastening to drive it far from them, the Bible says, you know. You want to do God's work there in that regard. In this generation, many people do not chasten their children. And they raise them monsters. And when they get older, you're going to be very sorry. The Bible tells you very plainly to chasten them. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel, which of course is a type of the church today. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost, and we are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will open your graves, and will cause you to come up out of your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Notice that coming up out of your graves is going to the land of Israel. In other words, being in your promised land. Many people don't live on the promises of God, but the righteous shall live from faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him, right? And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, O my people. Oh, yes, we're going to know he's the Lord. This is a supernatural move of God, resurrection life. This is a great revival that's being spoken about here. A great revival of bringing God's people into the life that was given to them, the life of Christ. And I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, not in the land of bondage, but in the land of promise, right? And you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. So she went on. She said, we cooked food for dinner with Jesus that night. It was the best food we had ever tasted. Well, yeah, Jesus is the manna that came down out of heaven. He is the bread of life, the Word of God, and the best food that we could ever eat. Amen. So consume the Word of God. Amen. The kitchen was like a kitchen in the 8th century, with onions and garlic and herbs and spices in sacks hanging from the roof. The roof was slanted. The pots and pans were hung above the stove. It was a beautiful kitchen. Well, you know, the gematria for Jesus in the Greek is 888. Amen. The kitchen, being from the 8th century, represents that we get our bread, which is unleavened, from Jesus. You can't get leavened bread from Jesus. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And there's much of that out there. And of Herod. I would say that might even be patriotism. Anyway, Micah asked the Lord for a word by faith at random after telling us about the dream. And we agreed with her. She received Psalm 12 and 1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fall from among the children of men, or fail, excuse me, from among the children of men. Yes. Isn't it like that now? It's just like that. It's that way in the church, and it's that way in the world. And of course, the Lord will help our children, physical and spiritual. He will deliver us out of these pits of darkness. Amen. And then Tabitha, my second child, told us that she received a word from the Lord this morning that said, and the Lord said, pack up camp. And the Lord said, pack up camp. She cannot remember where in the Bible it was that she read it, but she says it was midway down the left side of the page in the first column of the scriptures. And so, anyway, it's time to move with the Spirit of God, isn't it? Numbers 9 and 23 says, and this is God's Word translation, at the Lord's command, they set up camp, and at His command, they broke camp. They obeyed the command that the Lord had given through Moses. Amen. You know, this is going to keep us from an awful lot of trouble, to move with the Spirit of God, to go where the Spirit God would lead us, to desire His will. If any man is willing to do the will of the Father, he shall know of the teaching. That's what Jesus said. He will receive wisdom. Are you willing to go or not go? To go to the right or go to the left? Are you willing to move any way the Spirit tells you to move? If you're not willing to do that, and then you probably have an idol that's more important to you than following the Lord. Idols keep God's people from serving Him. And so it's a road of corruption to follow that. Your selfish ambition, your lusts, it's a road of corruption. And before you know it, you're listening to things that you call God, and God is nowhere around. You know, you've got ideas that the Lord wants you to do this and the Lord wants you to do that. But you might just be turned over to a tormentor. Who knows? At any rate, following the Spirit. You know, before God's people were ready to go through the wilderness, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in type. The Spirit came down on them. And that was right after the Red Sea, right after their baptism in the Red Sea, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So there is a baptism of water and a baptism of Spirit. And this cloud, this glory of the Holy Spirit moved and stopped them and started them. You know, they followed the Holy Spirit through the wilderness. And so it must be with us if we're going to survive what's coming. A lot of people just do whatever they're driven to do. Like multitudes of people are taking the jab. And in a short matter of time, many, many people are going to be dead. And, well, we know that they're coming up with solutions, they think. Some are saying not even their med bed will save you from the second shot. Either way, this is man doing what man must do to save his old flesh. But if you would lose your life, if you'd be willing to give up your life and follow Jesus, he will lead you in a way that is a blessing. Just like we've seen here, the waters, right? He would lead you in a way that would be a blessing. We would walk after his commands. We learn to hear the voice of the Spirit by studying the Word and loving the Word. We get feelings about things and people and words and teachings because the Word is in us. We get feelings about them, whether they're good or whether they're bad. We can understand these things because we're now familiar with the Holy Spirit who wrote the Bible. So if you study the Word of God, you're studying what the Holy Spirit believes, thinks, does, so on and so forth. When somebody tells you the Spirit wants me to do this or the Spirit wants me to do that, and you say, wait a minute, look what the Word says, and you ignore them, it's because you have an idol. You want to follow this Spirit, and it's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not contradict himself. You know, what he has written, he believes, and he does. And so we need also to act on his word, to be filled with his word. The word of God is what the spiritual man is made out of. It's who he is. Now, you can have a spirit man without him being born from above. That's obvious. Or you can have a spirit man that is the Holy Spirit in the Holy of Holies leading you. Amen. This is what we want. This is what we desire. When they made the portable temple, they blessed the temple. And they called for the Spirit of God to enter the temple. And he did. The Spirit of God entered the temple. Now, even though you might be born again, you still need the Spirit of God to enter your temple so he can lead you through this wilderness that's coming. And many people are going to die because they don't have that leadership. And even their preachers told them, you don't need that. You got that when you got saved, which is a lie. That's a lie. And if you'll read for yourself, you'll find out they're liars. Now that you know they're liars, get out from among them. Seek the truth only. Don't pollute your body and your mind with a bunch of garbage. It's a swamp on the left, right? So put the pure, true Word of God. It's the only one that creates, it's the only thing that creates holy and righteous people. And they're familiar with the voice of the Holy Spirit because they eat the whole lamb, who is what? The Word of God. Get familiar with the one who sins. I know people that struggle and struggle and struggle, and they don't know they're following the devil, and they're not made up their mind, is it God or is it the devil? But they won't get into the Word to find out. There's only two spirits out there that have any sway in this world, and that's the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of Antichrist. All of the demons are involved in the Spirit of Antichrist. They're working for the devil. And so how do we know Christ from Antichrist? Well, a love of the Word. Pray for a love of the Word. Father, I pray for everyone that's joining us today that you would put a love for your word in their hearts, that you would lead them and guide them through their familiarity with the opinions of the Holy Spirit that are written in the Word. And that you would fill everyone with the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. Some people call it like being born again, because it's such a refreshing. You know, this is the refreshing, the Bible says. So, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you fill everyone this day who is listening, who desires to be filled with your Spirit, that you fill them mightily. And that Spirit will then take them into the Word and teach them. That's what Jesus said. He will take of mine and reveal it unto you. And when the Spirit comes, he will teach you all things. Oh, praise be to God. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us in these days. There are very dangerous places. People just go by what they want to do, and they don't realize how dangerous things are around them and how that they will not come out of the harlot. And as such, according to your word, Lord, they will receive the judgment of the harlot. Come out from among them. Don't be a partaker of her sins, or you'll be judged just as they are. Lord, I pray for your people now that they receive a revelation that if they're not being taught the Word of God, they need to get out of there and, if nothing else, go home and read their Bible. Amen. I'm not saying that you can't find a church where the people are seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit and seeking to be holy and walk holy with God. You need the church. The church is the called out ones. He calls together people with different gifts so that we can help one another, kind of like a body, right? And you need the Holy Spirit. You need teaching. You need teaching that comes right out of the Bible. You don't need teaching of men who went to Bible school. There is no such thing as truth that way. Paul had to have all that knocked out of his head before he got the truth. And he was the one who was the theologian among them. And God had to bring him through a death, burial, and resurrection to get all that garbage out of him so he could hear the voice of the Lord and follow the voice of the Lord. Amen. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we thank you. Filling us mightily with your Holy Spirit. Raise your hands right now and ask the Lord to come into your life. And if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit before, it doesn't make any difference. Get refilled. They got refilled in the book of Acts, Acts 2 and Acts 4. They got refilled with the Spirit of God. Father, I ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit come down on the brethren here, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you fill them mightily with the power of your Spirit. Even the former rain until the time of the latter rain, which is just barely in our future. And Lord, fill them mightily with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill everyone who desires it. And Lord, yes, give them tongues so that they can pray in a language that they don't know and therefore don't have a reason to change because of their doctrines, their false doctrines. And a language that you hear, because the Holy Spirit always prays in faith, and he always prays according to the will of God. So that's a very valuable gift. That's why it's usually the first gift that people get. It's so valuable, because the Holy Spirit is able to pray through you according to the will of God. And if we ask anything according to his will, we know that we have the petitions which we have asked of him. Oh my goodness, how powerful a gift is that? They say it's the least gift, but they're quoting their religion. They're not quoting the Bible. The Bible doesn't say that. So, receive the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you through you in a language that you don't know. There's a purpose for that. Your doctrine it gives you, when you're speaking in English or you're speaking in your native language, you speak in with your intelligence. And this is something that God wants to come around your intelligence, because you don't know it all. You don't know a lot. You don't know what things are happening around you. You don't know a lot. But the Holy Spirit knows all. And He prays through us in groanings that cannot be uttered. And He prays according to the will of God. And He always gets what He prays for. Because He doesn't pray in unbelief. So you need this gift. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then ask Him, after you've done that, and you've been baptized in water, get baptized in water too, by the way. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Are you going to take a chance that that verse is wrong? Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Get baptized. And baptized in the Spirit. And this solves a lot of people's problems. A lot of people's problems. I want to tell you. All right, well, thank you, Father, for this and this wonderful day. And thank you for preparing us for the things that are coming. And thank you for exhorting us about your word. And we love you so much, Father. Please continue to give us revelations. Give all the brethren out there dreams and visions and revelations and prophecies and words of knowledge and words of wisdom and healings and deliverances and so on and so forth. Everything, Lord. Oh, it's all available to us, Lord. Thank you for filling your people with your Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Well, good night, saints. We'll do this again sometime. Lord be with you and bless you.